Say what? Listen to what the Supreme Court said in the United States concerning the Ten Commandments. If the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read, meditate upon, perhaps to venerate and obey the commandments. This is not a permissible state objective. James Wilson, a signer of the Constitution and original justice on the United States Supreme Court and co-author of America's first legal commentaries on the Constitution, he said, human law must rest its authority ultimately upon the authority of that law which is divine. Far from being rivals or enemies, religion and law are twin sisters. Indeed, these two sciences run into each other. The divine law forms an essential part of both. In 1962, the 22-word unconstitutional prayer, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependency upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. This prayer acknowledges God the same amount of times as the Pledge of Allegiance and a quarter times as the Declaration of Independence, yet this prayer was unconstitutional? In Abington versus Shemp in 1962, the court reported that only 3% of the nation did not believe in religion or God. The unconstitutional prayer was consistent with the beliefs of 97% of the country, thus making 3% the majority for the first time in America. In this prayer, we ask God to bless four things: students, families, schools, and the nation. Before 1962 and 1963, the courts used biblical guidelines in all four areas. George Washington warned in his farewell address, "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion, whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." What happened to students after 1962 when the United States Supreme Court committed an oligarchy? That's where few rule over many in doing their best to eradicate the Ten Commandments. Birth rates for unwed girls 15 to 19 years old have increased every year and have gone up 553% in girls 10 to 14 years old. Sexually transmitted diseases increased dramatically to a 226% ratio in students 15 to 19 years old and have gone up 257% in, again, ages 10 to 14 years old. Premarital sex up 365% in teenagers 16 years old, 271% in teenagers 17 years old, and 209% in teenagers 18 years old, and 1,000% up in teenagers 15 years old. What happened in schools after 1962? SAT scores plummeted for 18 consecutive years. The rates are so low that the Department of Education states that this is the first time in American history that we are graduating out a generation of students who academically know less than their parents did. The SAT test has been the same since 1941, yet there is nearly an 80-point difference between the two generations. In 1962, there were only 1,000 Christian schools, but by 1984, there were 32,000 Christian schools in the United States. Currently, 8.5 million students attend religious private schools, and SAT scores are nearly 80 points higher for private school students.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of Liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Clay Parker here. If you'd like to support a boots-on-the-ground ministry that is actively and effectively spreading truth, sharing the Word of God, and furthering God's kingdom, you can't go wrong by supporting Bradley Dean's Sons of Liberty. Find out how you also can become a soldier of the cross.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. You know, it's interesting that I'm looking down right now, and over the last couple of days I've been going through the book of Luke, and I just keep noticing that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I keep noticing the threatening tone of Jesus. Now, the reason I'm hitting this is because there's a false balance going on here. I mean, mercy to the wicked is cruel, right, to the innocent. Adam Smith was right when he said that. Scripture teaches the same thing. We live in a society today where they justify the wicked, or they try to, and they condemn the innocent. And we have to get this right. Read Deuteronomy 25, verse 1, and Proverbs 17, 15, when you get a moment as well. And the reason I'm saying all of this is because I went over to Charles Spurgeon, and I study a lot of the old men of God, the generals of God, those that have gone before us in the faith, Hebrews 13, 7. And it was interesting what he wrote concerning the threatenings of Christ. He said, "I must also remind you that every word of threatening that Jesus Christ has spoken is true." And I noticed also, like going back to the generals of God, those that have gone on to the old past, Jeremiah 6:16, in obedience to the Lord, John Wesley, he used to preach 90% law, 10% grace. Why? Because the spirit of the world is what he's at war with concerning contending for the souls of men. And he had to put it in a just balance because of the times that mercy was so out of balance that it overweighed a proper balance, again, which the Lord calls an abomination. And the American people, especially, all the while knowing the price paid for their freedoms, and I've gone through this so many different times, which is a judgment to the wicked, it's interesting to me that they have forgotten the price that's been paid and how it's been paid and why it's been paid. And they have taken their freedoms, and they've allowed the bad guys to go ahead and step and desecrate and put underfoot the blood that's been sacrificed to give us our freedoms. And I don't think people realize when you trace that all the way back up to Calvary, that is the cross of Christ who died for the sins of mankind, and that was a judgment upon sin. And why is it and how is it that when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so many people can just overlook the scriptures where Christ is constantly, literally, friends, constantly threatening the people of an eternal damnation? And I've shared with you before that nobody warned of hell more than Christ. As a matter of fact, when you look at scripture, he spent more time talking about hell than he did heaven. Why is that? Why do you think he did that? Now, we're not supposed to fear hell. We're to fear God, Luke 12, 4 and 5. Why do you think that is? Because he was trying to warn us of the fact that if we don't take heed, pay careful attention to the words of his mouth, that this was going to be the eternal consequence of those that go on in their sin. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to just kind of go back just a couple days and give you a quote by A.W. Tozer, and I'm going to put this all into scriptural perspective for you in real time concerning how it's applicable to today. And what got me thinking about the topic in which we're talking about today. A.W. Tozer said the idea that God will pardon a rebel who has not given up his rebellion is contrary both to scripture and to common sense. You can even try that in natural law. Go ahead and break the law. See how far it gets you. See how far you go before you're incarcerated. You're thrown in jail for committing a transgression. 1 John 3:4. Let me say it again. A.W. Tozer said the idea that God would pardon a rebel who is not giving up his rebellion is contrary both to scriptures and to common sense. That's right, because God is holy and he's just. Now, I just wrote an article today, and it's I titled it, "He's Now in the Hands of Jesus, Preached into Heaven after being found to be living in known sin." And this is prevalent. Here, let me explain. First off, I would like to say that what I'm about to share with you makes me righteously indignant. It does, to say the least. I'm righteously indignant not so much against the one that willfully remains and then dies in their sins, which, by the way, I'll highlight, he who claimed to be a Christian, John 8:24. I'm righteously indignant against those who are around such an individual who also claim to be Christians. You see, these profess their love, a lack thereof, of course, for such a one, but all the while they withhold reproof, correction, and instructions in righteousness. I just want to go to scripture so you can get a right balance here. And I want you to hear again what hate is, because you can go to Leviticus 19:17 and piggyback as to what I'm talking about even now. I'm going to go ahead and go to the book of Proverbs 13:24, and I want you to listen to what it says. King James, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that withholds the rod hates his son." Okay? "But he who loves him disciplines him diligently." That means painstakingly, the word diligently in Webster's 1828. Let me say it again. "He that spareth his rod hates his son, but he that loveth him chastiseth him betimes and many times over." Okay? "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The Lord drives it far from him. And if it's his son or daughter, he drives it far from him because he loves him, not because he hates him." Again, read Leviticus 19:17 when you get a moment here. But again, I want you to understand that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And yet people somehow or another, they call it love when they're being kissed by those that are deceiving them. But my Bible again says open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. So therefore, if you really love somebody, you're going to tell them the truth, because as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, that love rejoiceth not in lawlessness or in iniquity, right? And let love be without dissimulation, right? And let it not be a feigned love. That means a counterfeit love. So if I see my brother committing a sin that's going to cost him his soul, it would do me good in the sight of God and in the sight of my brother to be faithful to God by warning my brother to turn from his sin. And that means to convert. Psalm 19:7, Galatians 3:24. It's also found in the book of James as well. But I want to go on with this, and I want you to understand what I'm saying here. We're talking about a guy that just recently died, and his friends all encompassed him, reassuring each other that he's now in the hands of Jesus. But the problem is, he's in the hands of Jesus according to them that have deceived themselves, that are in the same position, trying to justify what they can't justify. Again, I'll be right back. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, this is Tiffany from San Diego, California, and I'm a proud supporter of Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty, where you find truth, common sense, and a pathway back to the core Christian values upon which this country was founded. Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty tell it like it is and reminds us that we, the people, have the power.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Today, more than ever, our pets are struggling with many of the same health challenges that their owners are struggling with. Medications can sometimes help, but do not address the root cause and can create unwanted side effects. Pet Regen by Go Natural Pets is a revolutionary, regenerative, plant-based supplement for pets that helps the body heal itself naturally. The results have been extraordinary. The unique ingredients in Pet Regen have countless scientific studies that show their ability to facilitate greater repair, renewal, and regeneration. A few scoops a day can make all the difference. It's safe, effective, affordable, and it works. We guarantee it or your money back. Created by nature, proven by science, loved by pets. That's PetRegen.com, PetRegen.com. Or call 737-303-4480. That's 737-303-4480.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the sonsoflibertyradio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life, books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the sonsoflibertyradio.com and check out our store today.
This is Kevin Shipp, former CIA officer. I want to give my personal recommendation for Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. Bradley's message of standing for faith and liberty in America is critically important to the future of our country. Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty's message is a light in the darkness we're facing. I personally support Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's who we are, what it is that we've been doing for the last 25 years. Matter of fact, we're going to be at a college this up and coming Friday. I'll give you more details about that as they transpire. And we're leaving for that tomorrow. Again, another state. If you would like to book us, speaking of which, go ahead and do that. Now's the time to do it. 3 months out, 3 months window. 1-866-233-0747. If you'd like to book us, now's the time to do it. 1-866-233-0747. Also wanted to let you know that if you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do that as well. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, top left side of the page. BeforeIt'sNews.com, top left side of the page. And if you'd like to call in, the lines are open. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. If this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. I want to cruise through this because I want to be, and I want to take my time, but I also know that it's the fastest hour on national radio. So with that said, I'm going to do my best to go line upon line, precept upon precept, and be as thorough as I can and try to give it breaks so it gets in, okay, before I go to the next point. I'm talking right now about how some friends of an individual who just passed, his friends who are just as unchristian as he is, are all talking about how he's now in the hands of Jesus, or should I say was. And I put on there as well on the new article, Preached into Heaven After Being Found to Be Living in Sin. You can find it on sonsoflibertymedia.com. And so I want to kick this off as quickly as I can so I can get to more of the points that I want to make in the up and coming hour. If you go over to A.W. Tozer, he said, the idea that God would pardon a rebel who has not given up his rebellion is contrary both to scripture and to common sense. And I just basically told you, friends, that this makes me righteously indignant, because what I see is I see this guy who just died from a drug overdose. And after he dies from a drug overdose, all of his said Christian friends, those that profess their love for him, they all stood around allowing him to go ahead in the sinful lifestyle that he so chose to die in by withholding reproof, correction, and instructions in righteousness, 1 Timothy 3:16. So they withheld this to justify their own sins because they have not repented, and that's something that they're just not going to be able to justify, as you're going to see. See, these people and so many like them in this country have the audacity to even go about to post comments about the one that now overdosed on drugs, that he's somehow in the arms of Jesus, that he is now in heaven. You can also rest assured that at his funeral, friends, this is going to be the same message that you will hear from the hireling in the pulpit that's going to go ahead and do his best to deceive everybody in that room that he's now in heaven. Has anybody ever been to a funeral where you haven't seen it happen? Have you ever been to a funeral where the preacher actually preached the truth of the matter, that the man died in his sins and now he's in hell according to the scripture? Oh, I know. I can hear that already. Bradley, who are you to judge? Just give me a minute. Let me say this. What makes me angry, what makes me righteously indignant is this, that these hypocrites that are trying to justify him, that are saying that he's in the hands of Jesus now, these are the hypocrites that partake in many ways in the same sins that this individual died in. And again, what I'm talking about is I'm writing about his professed Christian friends, because they're Christians in theory only, yet they're found to be worldlings in practice. Because these pretenders, in fact, are idolaters, adulterers, fornicators, drunkards, drug users, and abusers of themselves with mankind. That's exactly what 1 Corinthians 6:9 says. They're guilty of the same crimes as this individual was, against heaven and against himself, and it cost him his soul, but they're deceiving themselves by telling everybody around them, keep going on in your lifestyle, keep choosing to commit the act of sin, where the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23 that the end of sin is death, but don't worry about it. We have the grace of God that we can use as an occasion for the flesh, because nobody ever told us that Christ isn't the minister of sin outside of scripture that we've never read before. That's exactly the truth of the matter. They think that somehow or another they're just going to be ignorant or remain ignorant of the scripture, and then on judgment day, they're going to go ahead and get a pass by the Lord because he's so merciful. They don't understand the character of God first and foremost, nor would a natural judge do that in any sense of the word. Okay? I can go to a different country, friends, and if I go to a different country and I don't know their laws and I commit a crime there, I'm going to be held accountable for that crime rather than I took the time to know the law in that particular country or not. Or not. I'm still going to be held accountable for the crime. Ignorance of the crime doesn't make it or does it give you a pass. That's why all the more why we need to take the time to know the Word of God for ourselves. It's the instruction manual for life concerning every facet of our lives. I'm talking about the guy that's now in hell that died over a drug overdose, and all of his pretended friends that called themselves Christians, who are idolaters, adulterers, fornicators, sex before marriage, drunkards, drug users, and abusers of themselves, they're just as guilty as he is. That's why they're deceiving themselves and saying, well, you know what? We're heaven bound too. No, you're not. No, you're not. Folks, these are the worst of men and women. And this doesn't come down to a matter of what translation of the Bible that they're reading. Folks, this is the fruit of a rebellious people who haven't read or heard a word of the Bible. They reject the counsel of God against themselves. No, let me take it a step further. Not only do they reject the counsel of God against themselves, they despise the word and the author of it. But somehow or another, they want to be with him in heaven? That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Isn't that kind of odd? Kind of hypocritical. I was going to say hypocritical. Hypocritical. Yes, absolutely it is. Hypocritical. I want to go over to Proverbs 1 for a moment for you because it's important that everybody hears this because it applies to everybody that continues on in their sin. And when I go down to Proverbs 1:24, what does it say? The Lord says, I have called, you have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all of my counsel. You wouldn't have none of my reproof. None of my reproof. Listen carefully. I will also laugh at you when your calamity comes upon you. I will mock you when your fear cometh upon you. I want you to listen to this. You know what's interesting is when I'm reading this, the first thing that quickens me in mind is going back to the verse 23 in Proverbs 1, which preceded what I just read. And it's important that I add to it. You know what it says? It says, turn you at my reproof. This is the Lord. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make my words known unto you. But what did he say right after that? He said, but because I have called and you have refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel. You would have none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your fear cometh. Anybody out there have kids? Anybody love their kids according to the word of God? Anybody that loves their kids, do you find yourself spending more time showing your kids what not to do and what to avoid by warning them not to do it so they don't hurt themselves physically? And at the end of the day, concerning their souls? Psalm 19:11. Yep, I say it all the time. I spend more time warning my kids of what not to do, and I always tell them it would be to their benefit to see the scars of others, not to do the things that they've done to get those scars. That's common sense. See, those are the people that love their kids. Those that don't love their kids are the ones that just let their kids do whatever they want to do. They just kind of spring up, and the enemy of their souls raises them up. And there's a lot of parents in this country that somehow or another think that by handing them over to the enemies of their souls, that's love. No, that's hate. Because you can rest assured if you don't raise them up as unto the Lord, the enemy will raise him up unto himself. Rest assured. Rest assured. Weeds don't need, folks, guidance. They don't need a stick. They don't need direction. They just automatically grow, right? And those that have a garden understand, speaking of which, that you have to constantly weed that garden to make sure it doesn't overtake the fruit that you're raising up. So it is with your children. Put that up against Proverbs 22, verse 6. Let me go back to 1:24. Because I have called and you have refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, which distress and anguish cometh upon you. We're going to come right back to this. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
If you are a freedom and constitutional-loving patriot who is tired of the lies and deception in media, turn your attention to Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty Radio for a sanitation of your synapses, a bold proclamation on the airwaves daily. Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty Radio will continue the nonstop battle against those waging war on our liberty and freedom.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste your time with fluff. Here's a real 48-page printed newspaper that is not fair and balanced as defined by the mainstream media. Instead, we tell you the truth you need to know. Check us out and email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
For those of you who have taken the opportunity in proving the God of Israel, we salute you. On October 5th, 2024, at 6 p.m., Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty will be in Portage, Indiana at the Oakwood Grand Hall. On October 17th, at 6:30 p.m., we will be in Brownton, Minnesota at the Lake Marion Ballroom. On October 19th, at 6 p.m., we will be at Jack's House Bowl in Brainerd, Minnesota. The time to bring about change is now. Book us today for a date in your community at 1-866-233-0747.
It's Emmy-winning investigative journalist, nationally published author, and radio host Shad Olson to tell you what I think about my friend and compatriot, Bradley Dean. In the era of the podcast, big talkers are a dime a dozen, or maybe even cheaper than that. Bradley Dean is a patriot who not just talks the talk, but he walks the walk each and every day.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is James White from Northwest Liberty News and fruitforliberty.com, and I want to take a moment to speak to you about a website that I gladly contribute to and visit often. I'm speaking about the website Sons of Liberty Media, founded by my friend and fellow freedom lover, Bradley Dean. Bradley has provided the cure for the disease of lies and disinformation so prevalent today.
Bradley Dean is a gifted orator proclaiming the gospel of Christ and the biblical doctrine of the cultural mandate. He thoroughly understands the original intent of our nation's constitution and believes in the biblical inerrancy of absolute truth of the Word of God.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704, talking about how the worldlings deceive each other, and I'm talking about those that profess Christianity but only in theory, who are worldlings in practice, and I'll get to more details in just a moment. I'm on Proverbs 1 right now, and I'm just slowly going through this, and I just, again, I look at this. And I see how specific the Lord is in judgment, how a man reaps what he sows. To the very jot and tittle of what he sows, he's going to reap just that. I mean, all roads lead to the judgment seat of Christ, and yet men want to sit there and try to overlook that fact. Hebrews 9:27, what does it say? What does it say, folks? It's appointed unto men once to die, and then this, the judgment. Again, I'll get to that in a moment. But I'm talking about those that have deceived themselves into believing what isn't true. They're not heaven-bound. They're hell-bound. In great specificity, the Lord said, "Turn you at my reproof," 1:23 of Proverbs. "I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make my words known unto you. But I have called, and they refused. I have stretched out my hand, and you didn't regard. You set all my counsel at naught." In other words, you had it out of sight and out of mind. "You would have none of my reproof because you thought it was the devil. I will laugh at you when your calamity comes upon you. I will mock you when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you."
I mean, hello. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find. Which shows us the Lord's only going to let you play with his mercy for so long. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord in departing from iniquity. Proverbs 16:6. They would none of my counsel. Wait a second. They would none of my counsel. They never repented. They overlooked the love and the judgment of God, Luke 11:42. I mean, how ridiculous to overlook judgment because of kindness. Then love wounds itself by killing justice. But in their minds, they have overlooked what I just said. Incredible. They hated knowledge and they did not fear they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsels. They despised, yes, and they despise those that point the finger, not understanding that Torah means the law to point the finger. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. Wow. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But the promise to those that are in Christ, but whoso hearkeneth, listeneth carefully unto me, shall dwell safely and shall be free from the quiet of evil. Wow. Isn't that interesting? And when I look at this, a man dies from a drug overdose, who knew better, by the way, and his said Christian friends all encompass in a circle together and say, he's in the hands of Jesus now. As I just said, folks, this isn't a matter of what translation of the Bible they're reading. This is the fruit of a rebellious people who haven't read or heard a word of the Bible. They reject the counsel of God. They despise the word and the author of it. America is filled with it. Here, let me give you a prime example. Can I take it over to a natural analogy? Just had a friend of mine not too long ago on the way home give me an email or a text, I should say, and she said, look what I just received. And it was a lady that was trying to tell this individual that should know better, because I know who he is, that, listen, you're voting for the less of two evils. There's 1,250 other presidential candidates, but you're trying to figure out as a slave which one's going to be your master concerning the two that have been given to you as options by the powers that are tolerated that are driving a global narrative. You know what he said back? I want you to listen carefully. This is great. This is just, and it's prevalent. He said, we are voting for a mere man, not a savior. Well, then let me ask you something. Then why is it, if that's the truth of the matter, why is it that the guy that's running to be the next president of America for the second time in a row, why is he the one portraying himself as a savior to the people? I'm just curious. You know who the new savior is? Elon Musk. I'm not kidding. This is what happens when you reject the word of God. Wait, why is it that all of these people that are running for office up until just recently through whore Kamala Harris, why is it that they all claim to be Christians? Because they're claiming to be a Christian because they understand that this is a Christian nation, and that's why they put their hand on the Bible, swearing to uphold the laws. Because they understand that our rights come from God, according to the Declaration of Independence. They understand that every preamble in the United States of America starts out acknowledging God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are they doing? They're playing up to the people. Why would this guy say he's a mere man, we're not voting for a savior? Then why do you treat him like one? I'm just curious. I just want to know. Then why do you treat him like one? I mean, you're talking about voting for a man that has portrayed himself and sold to the people that he is one in one way or another, a savior to the people by telling him, let's make America great again and let's get back to godly principles, that he does just the opposite of Matthew 7:16 and 20. I want you to stop and think and bring it to yourself. If you're one of those individuals that's okay with what's going on and you're just going to vote for the lesser of two evils, I want you to understand that you're a partaker of that evil. You're an accomplice to that evil. The unconstitutional RNC has now taken abortion, murder of children, and sodomy, homosexuality, off of their platform. So I ask you, what's then the difference? Why is everybody complaining about that? Because they know in conscience that it is law breaking. It is transgressing God's law. They know that it's wrong. But the RNC just removed them both from off their platform. So what's the difference between them and the bad candidate? There's absolutely no difference. What they did is they just showed you that they're in it together right then and there, didn't they? See, because the Lord condemns them both, and both are against God's law. So what do you mean you're not voting for a savior? Yes, you are. You're looking for a savior to deliver you from this lawlessness that's taking place, right? The only person that can do that, friends, is Jesus Christ. And guess who he is? He is the savior. Just wanted to clarify that. That was a free one. Just needed to throw that in there because the door opened and I went through it. Nothing more, nothing less. I want to go back to this, and we're talking about a guy that died of a drug overdose and how his friends are all in a circle together, these worldlings, all saying that he's now in the arms of Jesus, not according to Scripture. These people that act in such a way, they know nothing of Christ nor of love. 24:12 of Matthew. They have deceived themselves into believing that no matter how you live your life, you're saved. Because again, the hirelings have told them so. And when death comes to them, heaven will receive them with open arms no matter what they've done. And I'm talking about those that live on and have failed to repent of their sins. Hey, folks, they're sadly hellbound and willfully self-deceived, period. 2 Timothy 2:19, what does it say? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth those that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from lawlessness. Whoa. I said earlier, I can just hear an answer back. Someone saying, Bradley, who are you to judge me? Bradley, you're judging. No, I'm not. I'm making distinction when it comes to the fruit of these people by referring to the judge's word, Ezekiel 44:23. I am a fruit inspector. That's what Christians are called to be. Fruit inspector. John 7:24, you are to judge with righteous judgment. Make distinction. The way that the Lord taught us to. What are you talking about? Matthew 25:31-46. The sheep and the goats, he made distinction. One went to heaven, the other group went to hell. The wheat and the tares, one went to heaven, the other group went to hell. From the holy and from the profane. Profane meaning irreverence for the things of God and his word. Whoa, wait a second. I didn't know that. No, that's why you're listening right now. Is warning men to flee from the wrath to come now somehow judging them when all roads lead to the judgment seat of Christ? Here, listen to this. Romans 14:10-12. But why do thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I mean, isn't that what repentance is all about? Isn't putting off the old man and putting on the new man what it's all about? 2 Corinthians 5 tells us once again in verse 17 that all things old have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Doesn't the Bible tell us through John the Baptist in John 3 that I must decrease that he might increase? Doesn't it tell us in Romans 8 that if Christ be in me, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness? Doesn't the Bible tell me that I am crucified with Christ? Again, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in by the faith of the Son of God. Yep, that's what it says. Yep, that's exactly what it says. And I want to just tee it all up to this. What Martin Luther said, the man that's ready for judgment day is the one that longs to be free from sin, not in sin. Is that what's going on here concerning what I'm highlighting right now? Nope. I've shared this before. My gosh, folks, these breaks come on so quick. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be right back. I'll finish this piece up. sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com, 281-845-4704. Final segment. Son of Liberty, Mr. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men." Well then, for 25 years now, we as a ministry team have been doing just that and bearing fruit to the glory of Christ. From tea parties to high schools, from colleges to churches, prisons, and more. Friends, it has been correctly stated that a salvation without service is no salvation at all. How true that is. If we have found on a personal level salvation in Christ, this then will lead us back to a national salvation when we work together through a reformation back to his old paths in working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now is the time to work together in bringing us into your communities and setting these brush fires in the minds of men and women nationwide. So book us today. Give us a call at 1-866-233-0747.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
This is Alan Keyes. I'm glad to have an opportunity to talk to you for a moment about my friend Bradley Dean. He's making a great contribution to, I think, the vital work, not only of helping to wake people up to the importance of our faith, but especially spreading that word to the younger generations who are desperately in need of it. Help him do his work and spread it further.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 281-845-4704. We got Matt calling from Texas. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. What say you, my friend?
Oh, hey, Mr. Bradley. I want to, first of all, I finished your book last week.
Cool.
The grass doesn't work, rocks do. Excellent book. I finished it in a week. I couldn't put it down.
Cool. Thank you.
We're speaking of, you're talking about, you know, who people should vote for and rightfully calling out what's wrong with candidates, and I can't say that you're wrong, but what I wanted to add is God hates covenant breakers.
Yep.
And we inherited a covenant from our forefathers.
Yep.
As citizens of the United States, and voting is only half of our duty. We're supposed to formally move our government, redress grievances, and direct them via the sui juris affidavit. And I can tell you, I'm still learning how to do it. It's not as easy as you would think, and people have been failed by the public school education system.
Yep.
In regards to being taught that with proper civics.
Yep.
So I just feel that.
No, you're right. But can I say this to you, Matt? Let's have a little conversation here, just because you're talking about that right now. But I think what the problem that we're having is that we, the people, I got the preamble right in front of us on the screen right now on social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, before it's news.com. The U.S. Constitution starts off with we, the people, and at the very end of that Constitution, it says in the year of our Lord. So our rights come from God. Therefore, we, the people, are the government. The people have forfeited their government over. to the bad guys is what they have done.
Well, it's not supposed to matter hear me out. Whoever's president is not supposed to affect our country as much as it's been affecting our country if the citizens direct their government.
When totally.
To do so, that's when the bad things happen.
Totally.
Who you vote for does matter.
Absolutely.
If you don't direct them, then you're responsible too.
Yep.
All goes back to the Bible. The sui juris affidavit process comes from the Bible. Bring two or more. There's your affidavit. Have it sworn. You're redressing the grievances. I mean, it all goes back to the Bible. I mean, that's exactly how the founding fathers laid it out. I just don't want to see self-righteousness get thrown around when most of us are we're already breaking the covenant anyway by not doing our jobs.
Right. What do you mean by the self-righteous in voting? I'm curious.
Well, because you're talking as if voting is all that we're supposed to do, and if you vote for this person, you're totally wrong. Well, regardless of who you vote for, if you're not directing your government and redressing grievances formally via the sui juris affidavit, which creates a record and moves courts and is working, if you visit at Dave Jose Cares for You on Rumble, he talks about it. He's the teacher.
Okay.
If you're not doing that, then you're already breaking the covenant and you have no room to talk about anybody else.
Yeah, no. Let's get this right though, Matt. That's you're thinking of the wrong guy. My objective is to show the people in this country that there's 1,250 other presidential candidates that are being completely ignored that want to do the right thing. Let me finish, though. But the point is, I'm trying to get them to understand that everybody's complaining about the establishment, and the establishment and the powers that are tolerated by the American people are given the two evils on both sides of the fence. And the fact of the matter is,
if you don't formally move your government, aren't you putting all your faith in one man?
Say that again.
If you aren't formally moving your government, redressing grievances and directing them, aren't you already putting your faith in them?
I'm in agreement with you, but they are our said representatives. And when you read the Declaration of Independence, what does it say? It says they derive their just powers from the consent of we the people. So what it comes down to is, Matt. Our rights come from God. As long as we do what Charles D. Montesquieu rightly said, liberty is the right to do what the law permits. As long as we're obeying the king on high, we hold our said representatives accountable to the laws that have been given to them. That's what the outline called the Constitution is given to them for. These are your work duties. This is what you can do, and this is what you can't do. That's it. So I'm in total agreement with what you're saying.
I'm telling you how you do it.
Yeah,
I'm telling you how you do it.
And how? Right? It sounds like you're wanting to contend with me for no reason, Matt.
I'm only hearing half the truth.
No, you're hearing what you want to hear. I'm telling you, my point is, get out of the establishment that everybody's complaining about. The establishment people are the ones that are always given to the people by the powers that are tolerated. There's absolutely no difference between the two of them. I'm telling you to think out the box and look at the 1,250 as real legitimate contenders and get busy doing what you're supposed to do. I don't think anybody that's ever listened to the show a day in their life has ever heard Bradley Dean just say half of it, ever. That's not what we've done here. That's not what we've ever done.
Even with Joe Biden as president, my teacher, Dave Jose, is winning and moving the government. He has CPS on the run in New Hampshire. Arizona CPS is fixing to get it because it's all unconstitutional.
Well, good for them. My objective is to go out to the high schools. I've done 365 public high schools. I've spoke 3,000 times. I'm going out there. I'm educating the people as to how to deal with the people. So he's doing his part. My teacher happens to be the master. His name is Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. 100%.
So that's all I'm holding to.
He's the long beard, gray haired guy. What's his name?
Tim Brown.
Yes, he's had Dave Jose on about a year ago. And
they
did a 2-hour. And this stuff is fire. And this, you tell your audience this, it doesn't matter who's president. Because this is how you proclaim those rights that you just went over in detail in our founding documents and in our charter.
Okay.
This is how you move them. This is how if you do vote
I'll tell you what, then maybe David should be the next president of the United States of America, because I'm doing everything that I know how to do concerning what needs to be done as far as getting back this government as to where it should be. And it belongs to the people,
the
people...
I'm not doubting that. I don't doubt you. I love you. I don't doubt that. I'm trying to... I see a brother that's a leader, that's strong and knows the Bible like the back of his hand, that's doing God's work, that just needs to look right over here. just over here, at another biblical process that was laid out for us by our founding fathers so we could formally move our government and not have to worry about who's president. And if somebody becomes president that you don't think should be president, you know, because of your knowledge, right, in the law and how to move your government, you know that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then they can't get you to go crazy and act all.
Yeah, you know what? I already live my life, to be quite honest with you, Matt. I already live my life accordingly. I'm not going along with all of their unlawful edicts. I'm doing just the opposite. I'm standing against it. I want you to listen to what, of all people, Abraham Lincoln said. He said that the people are the government. And he said that that we are, as the people, it doesn't belong to the representatives. It belongs to the people. Right. And it
does belong to the representatives if you don't stand up and move them and direct them.
Yeah, I got it. I totally thank you, man, for your comments. But you got to learn to be a little bit more, courteous when you're on my radio show. I listen to what you say, and then I try to answer it. And then you cut me off again and again and again and again. And I wasn't playing that with you, guy. I just wanted to tell you what Abraham Lincoln said about the courts and the people and Congress within the government. And I'm just going to go to that quote right now so you can hear it for yourself. And this is what he said. Again, of all people, folks, many people believe that down south that Abraham Lincoln was an absolute tyrant. But you know what? Sometimes they blurt the truth out in their confusion. And that's what he did. He said, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men that pervert the Constitution." Now, Matt, I don't know if you listen to me all the time, guy, but that has been my message since day one. The drum that I keep pounding on this show is justice upon the heads of the wicked, in removing them and putting the righteous in their place, because we don't need more laws. We need good men upholding the laws that we have, because men in this country and women in this country are sick and tired of man's 10,000 policies, which are there undermining the said Constitution of the United States of America. I also want to go over to Thomas Edison. And he had said concerning the law and who the law is, willingly, I'm just going over there right now. I'm just punching in keywords for you right now. And again, I want you to hear what he has to say. Just piggybacking as to what our friend said, Matt said from Texas. I'm going to go ahead and take Bob from Texas really quick for the sake of time. Bob, it's all yours, my friend.
Hey, Bradley, I got some good God news for you. I got to meet with a... justice of the Texas Supreme Court, and he almost had me in tears when he said their church was shut down, so he and some other guys went and opened their own. So that's the kind of Supreme Court justice I think I want. And he also gave me some good news about, he said they always record in court, and we're having a lot of injustice in our local courts because we get shut down when we want to, you know, record the proceedings. And these judges are taking the prerogative to remove our freedom of speech when we really need to get how these court proceedings are proceeding on the local level. There's a lot of injustice that they're hiding.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Guy. Thank you, Bob. I wanted to say this in ending. Thomas Edison said, "The strength of the Constitution lies entirely in the determination of each citizen to defend it." Absolutely. It's what we've always said here. Sons of Liberty Radio.